Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing to come to church and just be encouraged by other believers to sense the presence of God in this place and to have the special music we have here. I don't think it's second to any. I think God has blessed us very greatly with our music and the talent that's in this church. And we praise the Lord for all of it. It's just a blessing every opportunity we have to be in church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, and this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Easter, the day that we've set aside to acknowledge the resurrection. What a great blessing that is. I mean, that is a shouting, hollering, you know, just excitement to think about the resurrection. But before there was a resurrection, there had to be a crucifixion. One of the darkest days on this planet in all of eternity was the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. Before he went to the cross, he met with the disciples and he established the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, the reason for the Lord's Supper is to remember the sacrifices that were made on Calvary's cross. Even before he would go to the cross, he knew what would take place. Because he was God. He knew what kind of pain he would have to endure. He knew the suffering that it would entail. And he wanted his disciples to remember that because it would always give them a greater appreciation for their Savior. We should never lose sight of the fact that Jesus suffered and bled and died for us. If I need to realize that if I was the only lost sinner, he would have died for me. And that's how he wants every believer to feel. He loves you individually. And he would have died for you. And he did individually die for each one of us. He paid our sin debt, a debt that we owed and could not pay. And so tonight we will be having communion following the message here this evening. But I think this all goes along with it. Here in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 27, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read the crucifixion. We're going to study tonight just why Jesus was crucified and why there had to be darkness during the time that he was on the cross. In chapter 27 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, mocked him." This is the Creator God that created mankind, and mankind is mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." Now drop down to verse 45 with me. Verse 45, the Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this evening, we love you, Lord, and thank you for proving your love for humanity and dying on the cross of Calvary, paying a sin debt we all owed and couldn't pay. Lord, we do need to remember that, understanding the sacrifices were made for us. Thank you that you didn't stay in the grave, that you resurrected on the third day, and we shout hallelujah, praise the Lord for that tonight. But as we prepare to have communion, I just pray that you'd meet with us and help us to realize just what took place on the cross. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The crucifixion, as given to us by Matthew, we find it in the Gospels, and each one giving a little more insight into it. But there was a doctor that described what took place on the cross of Calvary in the body of the Lord. And let me just read it to you. It just really depicts exactly what took place. It's from a medical viewpoint. The cross is placed on the ground and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrist, excruciating fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid his stretching torment, he places the full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, he feels a searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of the feet. As the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs but not exhaled. He fights to raise in order to give even one small breath, get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rendering cramps, intermediate partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest as a pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It is now almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Finally, he can allow his body to die. And as this was taking place, before his body died, he cried out, "It is finished." An almighty Creator God, who came because of a love for humanity, knowing that humanity needed to be reconciled to God, and the only way the that humanity could be reconciled with God is that there was a penalty for sin paid. The penalty for sin is death. Jesus died in our stead so that we might live, that we might be able to be reconciled to an almighty God. Why was He on the cross? Why was He crucified? First of all, it was all through the Old Testament prophecies. We knew that He would come to pay the sin debt of humanity. But the reason that He was on the cross was that very thing. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He had to pay that sin debt to offer unto each and every one of us a free gift of everlasting life. Wow. He was on the cross to be crucified to pay the wages of sin. It was predetermined. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 22 to 24, and if you read the Old Testament, you can find all of the prophecies concerning this, but Paul, Luke writes in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 22, and he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He came and performed many miracles and signs. He raised the dead Himself, and raising Lazarus, He healed the blind and the sick. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." A predetermined act. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." So we find that He was on the cross paying the wages of sin because it was predetermined. He was on the cross paying the penalty for sin because it was voluntary. Why was Jesus crucified? To pay our sin debt. But realize He didn't have to do it. John chapter 10, will not turn there, but He said, "No man's able to take his life, but he lays his life down." He voluntarily came to be that sacrificial lamb. Not only was it predetermined, not only was it voluntary, it was substitutionary. He didn't deserve it. He was a sinless sacrifice. Spotless Lamb of God. But He who knew no sin became sin for you and I. A substitutionary sacrifice. And then finally, it was an act of redemption. An act in Galatians in chapter 4. I want you to read that with me. Galatians in chapter 4. We need to understand this. As we get ready to have communion, we need to understand all this was behind Him coming and going to the cross of Calvary. In Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come," everything leading up to this time and eternity, when Christ, the Son of God, would yield Himself to man to be crucified. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." It was an act of redemption. He died so that we could be redeemed and become the sons of God. Be able to look to the Heavenly Father and call Him Abba, Father. Why was it dark? If you go back in our text this evening, and we've seen that how what He went through and being humiliated, being sped upon, and understanding what took place when He was actually being crucified. But our text here in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45 down to verse 54, it reveals that during the time that He was on the cross, between the sixth hour, there was darkness. from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Now, the Jewish day begins at 6 a.m. So the sixth hour would have been noon. At noon, the sun is as bright as it gets all day. It's at its peak. And when the sun would have been at its peak, the Bible says that there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Darkness. The darkness revealed the withdrawal of God's presence. In verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, this is what he was saying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was the one thing that God the Son had never experienced. He had never been separated from God the Father. And yet, in order to pay the sin debt, he had to take the sins of the world upon himself. And when he had the sins of the world, God, being holy and pure, could not view the sin. And God removed his presence so that Jesus Christ would take on the sins of all of humanity. We'll not know exactly the impact and all that took place at that moment until we get to heaven, when we're able to fully understand all that did happen. But we know that God blocked out all light. Darkness is something that most people fear, and rightly so. I remember probably the darkest place I've ever been was in Mammoth Cave. I think most of us have had tours through Mammoth Cave, and they get in there and they tell you, say, "All right, we're going to turn the lights off and it's going to be pitch black." And they would turn the lights off, and I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Nothing. Pitch black. No form of light anywhere. And then they would light just a little bitty pin light. And it seemed like that pin light would be so bright because of the darkness being so black. I believe this is the darkness. Not only did he block out the sun, but he withdrew his own presence. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, let me read this to you. Just think about that. God withdrawing his presence and there was darkness. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Outside of God, there is no light. God provides the light that we have. In heaven, in eternity, the Bible said there'll be no need of the sun, because God himself will illuminate all of heaven. No need of the sun. The sun is for humanity. The sun is for this present day earth. The sun and then the moon that God has given to us to give us some light at night, and the stars. But in heaven, it's a different dimension. Heaven is not outer space. Heaven is a different dimension, and there's no need for a sun. There's no need for lights, because the presence of God is light. And all darkness will be cast into an eternal lake of fire. Darkness will be what every lost person will experience for all eternity, along with eternal torment. Once a lost person dies, they'll realize that their greatest loss is the presence of God. He's not in a place of hell. There's no light, only darkness. For most, even the lost in this present world, can I tell you that the presence of God is here the presence of God, especially in America. Now, you go to some of the third world countries, and so I've been on some mission fields, that you can just sense the evil and the presence of evil much more than what you can sense it here in America, because America has had the light of God upon it from the very beginning, 1776, when this nation was established. God had a purpose for this nation. And even atheists that live in America, they have experienced the blessings of God's blessing on His people and blessings on the church. It's the church that has allowed the light of God to be so evident in America. Even the laws that America has established are based on the commandments of the Bible. Every law that we have based on what God has given to us and the commandments, and our forefathers were not afraid and we're not ashamed to have that up in the offices and present that as the reason why we do this is because that goes along with the Word of God, that goes along with the God that we trust, that goes along with the commandments that all men need to live by. And there's been light in America, the presence of God. There's going to come a day when that will not be. The farther we get away from God, the more darkness we sense and feel in even this great nation that we live in. But when a person dies without Christ, he will open his eyes. There is life after death for all people. But he'll open his eyes to no avail, because it'll be nothing but darkness and pain as given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing what hell is going to be like, where the worm dieth not, torment. But when the eyes of the believer opens, there'll be no darkness, no pain, no suffering. No need of the sun, no need of the moon, because of the presence of God. There was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And God turned away from His own Son when Jesus took the sins of the world upon His body. Even the lost, when it was all over, Matthew chapter 27, even those that spit upon Him, those that made fun of Him and mocked Him, not knowing, at the end, when they witnessed what took place on the cross, the supernatural event that blocked out all light. Verse 54, he says this: "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, they knew now that they had crucified the very Son of God. They said, truly, this was the Son of God." Truly it was. And truly He died on Calvary's cross for each and every one of us that will receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And truly, even before He went, He knew what He was going to go through. He met with His disciples, and He established what we're going to experience in just a few minutes, the Lord's Supper. Remembering the sacrifices until He returns. Will do something for us in our willingness to sacrifice for Him and to serve Him as He would have us to serve Him. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I trust you understand why Jesus was on the cross and why He was crucified. And even understanding the reason for the darkness. And right now, the most important question you need to ask yourself: have I acknowledged that He died for me? Have I come to the place to acknowledge my need of a Savior? Have I confessed that I'm a sinner? Have I asked Jesus, the Savior, the only Savior, to be my Savior? To give me that eternal life that only He can give. If not, we're going to have an invitation in a few minutes. And I would encourage you, if you are not 100% sure that when your eyes were to close in death, that heaven would be your home, get that nailed down tonight. Make certain of that so that you will not have to spend eternity in darkness. But you can spend eternity in the light. Father, we love You and thank You for the truth of Your Word. And thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. And just understanding, before there was a resurrection, there was a crucifixion. And oh God, the crucifixion was for us. Jesus suffered and bled and died in our stead. Help us to never lose sight of that. Help us to be willing to sacrifice ourselves in order to serve You as You would have us to serve You. Bless in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.